The title of the lesson I've chosen today is It Shall Be Forever, and it's taken from verse 14 in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. So we know that what God even purposes, he shall bring to pass in his time. Precisely. He has all power. He's in control. Nothing happens without him. But whatever God does, it shall be forever. So when God has purposed in Christ to have a people, when he chose them in Christ, he shall have those people in his time upon him. Nothing can be put to God's purpose. What God has purposed is sure to pass, sure to come. Nothing can be taken away from it. What God does is forever, even in his purpose, it'll come to pass in God's time. And it's because of God. God doeth it. He who is in control does it himself. And when God purposed to have a people, when he chooses, and when he enables them to be born into this world, he gives them life. Those people that he purposed to have in his time, he'll call them by his grace and reveal his son in them. And he'll keep them by his power. And he'll make them like unto Christ in eternity, won't he? They shall be like him and with him forever. He'll still be their Lord and Savior. They'll still bow to him and look to him out of praise and glory, won't they? But they'll be like him, like him. So we can be sure of this thing. Salvation is of God, ain't it? It's of the Lord. Man has nothing to do with the salvation of God. Men don't help God do anything. Everything has come about in going about as God has already prescribed it to do, and it's going to. Everything is exactly like it was supposed to be. God is in charge. God allows the evil for his own glory, don't he? And he creates life in people to honor him and to glorify him and for the benefit of his people, the ones he's purposed to have. So salvation is of God. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't have no franchise on it, do we? No. God does what he will with whom he will, when he will. Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You remember when Jonah was to go down to Nineveh and preach the gospel? He got on aboard a ship and he aboarded it for Joppa, wasn't it? And he didn't do anything that God didn't allow him to do. You know that? But God was going to have him to preach the gospel to his sheep, and he preached the gospel. God brought him to preach the gospel. God was in charge. Jonah wasn't in charge. God was. All things work together for good, don't it? All things. Everything. Everything that happened to Jonah, everything that Jonah did, works together for God's good, don't it? God's glory. That shows us that no matter what Jonah determined to do, he was going to do what God required him to do, what God had purposed for him to do. He was to go down and preach the gospel, and that's exactly what he did. When God was pleased to bring him down, wasn't he? He went down. So we see that salvation is of God, alone. It's God that purposed it. It's God that works it in the hearts of his sheep. It's God that keeps his people, ain't it, by his power and by his grace. And it's God that shall change them and make them like his son in glory eternally, everlasting. Isaiah 45:17 says, so salvation is of God alone. It's the work of God. It's an everlasting salvation. Everything God does is eternal. What God does is forever, right? It's forever. Salvation. It's an everlasting salvation. In Isaiah 45:17 said, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. God's chosen, God's elect, whoever he purposed to have, Israel, shall be saved in the Lord. They'll be saved. That they'll be justified by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in time thou shalt be made like him. Every one of them, every one of God's church, Israel, shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Everlasting is eternal. That's it. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. See that? Shall not be ashamed nor confounded. And in this life, God's people who truly know Christ in their heart is not ashamed to confess Christ. They gladly confess him. They rejoice in him. Their joy is in telling about he whom they love, whom they have faith in. That's their joy. That salvation that he puts in the hearts of his people, he gives them the heart and places in that heart an eternal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their salvation is in Christ. They look to the time that they shall be with him forever. God doesn't halfway do anything. He thoroughly does it. They shall be with him. Hebrews 5:9 says, being made perfect, he became a perfect representative, a perfect substitute before God, on man's behalf to represent them in this life and to die in their room instead. And he perfectly satisfied God in that regard, and they're accepted in him. When they're given faith, they don't look to their faith. They look to Christ and they rest right there. In being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. That don't mean it became eternal salvation. This salvation was planned in eternity past before the foundation of the world. And in God's time, when it pleased God, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that you might receive the adoption of sons. So it's eternal. He became the author of that eternal salvation. He stood as a lamb slain. In God's time, he sent him forth. He became a man to represent his people and to die for them. And they shall never be lost. What he's done is eternal. It's forever. God purposed it. The Son purchased it. It has been purchased, right? By the blood of Christ. That shall never be lost. Whoever it is. Whoever it is. There's not a one of them going to be lost. They'll be with him forever. John 10:29 says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. See that? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In him that the Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will individually or separately from my Father, but to do the Father's will. And that's to become a man. See that? And to be obedient to him on men's behalf. And to do for them what they could not do. And to die for them. You see that? And put away their sin, that they would be justified before God, accepted in me. So my Father which gave them me, he's greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. So, salvation is eternal, ain't it? It's eternal, that's it. No man, that's it. Salvation is a real union with the Lord Jesus Christ, ain't it? All of those whom God purposed to have, he will work grace in their heart. They will come to a true heart knowledge of who they are in the light of God, and they'll see Christ for who he is as their substitute, and they will gladly rest and bow to him, won't they? Gladly. So salvation is a real union with Jesus Christ. He has made us one with the Father. I can't explain that, can you? We're accepted in the Beloved as God accepts His only begotten Son, His own Son. Can you understand that? We're accepted in Him perfectly and eternally, ain't we? We're accepted. We are accepted in Him. When God sees us in Christ, don't He? And we are accepted. We're members of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, ain't we? Flesh of His flesh. All that He done as our substitute. You see that? When He came into this world, all that He did as our substitute. And we're members of Him. We're so closely knit to Him that we can't explain it, ain't we? We're spiritual children of God. Can you understand? I can't. Spiritual children of God. We're accepted in His Son with full acceptance, you see. Spiritual children of God. We are members of His body, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. The church. Every member in that church, which is a member of God, is members of the body of Christ, ain't it? We're in that body. We're united to God. We can't be severed. You see, man, I can't say what I want to say even. We can't be severed from Him. We're bone of His bone. We're flesh of His flesh. And just as sure as He is, we shall be. And where He is, we shall be. We're members of that mystical body, that mystical union, that spiritual body. Members of His body. We're spiritual members of the church, the body of Christ. And He's the head of it. All those who are members of His body, they are directed to and look to and have faith in, and they're settled in the head. See that? The head. He's in control. He's above everybody else. He has all power. He saved His people. They look to Him. They know that they're accepted in Him. And they shall be with Him in glory eternally. They know that, don't they? There's not a doubt in my mind that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace and power of God shall be with Him in glory. They're members of His body, the true church, the spiritual church, the church of the heart, that mystical union, that spiritual body, see that? Of which He is the head. So eternal life, this is a real oneness, ain't it? With the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. See that? He's over all and above all. In all things He's got the preeminence. We didn't acquire or do anything to be accepted of God. We didn't. We believed, yes. But faith is the gift of God. He worked grace in your heart to believe in His Son, didn't He? And to look for to His Son as our federal head and representative. See that? We have eternal life. We have a real oneness with God in and through Christ. He said, because I live. How long is He going to live? He always was, always is, always shall be. He lives forever. There's a man in glory seated, ain't it? The right hand of God. The work of His redemption has been finished of the soul. He'll receive the bodies into glory in His time, won't He? He will. Eternal life. That's a oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He lives, we shall live also. He's eternally alive, and His people's eternally alive in Him, and they'll be like Him. Can you imagine Him with a finger off or a finger broke like that? He don't halfway do anything. Every member, He don't have no main members. That's a main member right there. I can't do nothing about that. But He don't have no main members. They'll be like Him and with Him forever. That's sure, sure. They are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. His body is perfect and complete. Right? It's perfect. They ain't not a foot out of joint or a finger out of joint or anything. Everything is right where He has put it. And it's perfect in Him. And it can't be maimed, and it can't be severed. It's connected eternally. I can't understand that, can you? I know we shall be with Him forever, but we're connected to Him eternally in the mind and purpose of God and by the grace of God through Christ right now, ain't we? We shall be with Him in glory. Perfect and complete in Him. John 17:22 says, "The glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one." Can you imagine that? As You and I are one. The Father and the Son are one. That His people are one. Just as the Son of God and God is one. That's farther than I can imagine, ain't you? We're one with God in Christ. And to be one with God in Christ is to be as God and the Son are one. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit can't be severed. So we're one with God in the Lord Jesus Christ, ain't we? They're one even as we are one, Christ said, talking to the Father. Ephesians 2:21 says, "Whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord." All the church is fitly framed together in Christ. It can't be severed. It's God's church. The true church is God's church. It's the church of God, the hearts of God's people. It's God's church. And it can't be severed from God. It's fitly framed together. He put it together. Didn't He? He put it together. He purposed it. Some purchased it. He applied it. He keeps it. And He makes it like His Son eternally. Don't He? Yeah, He does. They're fitly framed together. And it groweth into a holy temple. The church grows into a holy temple. We know in this flesh we're not holy. But in Christ, the church is holy. The whole church of God is holy in Christ. It's one in Christ. It's one with God. If one member of His body could perish, it wouldn't be complete, would it? We're so truly and really one with Christ that not so much as a member can ever perish. Not a member of His body can ever perish. As long as our head is safe, the members of that body is safe. The head's in control. The members are connected to Him eternally. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father which is in heaven is perfect." He tells us to be that, don't it? We are in Christ. You got to be perfect. Don't you? In Christ, you are perfect before God. There's not anything against you if you're in Christ. If there's anything against you, then you're not in Christ. You see that? If anything's against us, everything's against us, right? We don't just commit one sin or at heart or deed or whatever. We are sin by nature, ain't we? But in Christ, we are perfect. And we shall be perfect both body and soul, right? Both body and spirit. We are complete in Him. Complete. When God looks upon you in Christ, which He don't look upon you outside of Christ. If Christ died for you, did it, does He? If He purposed you, you are complete. Perfect. I can't imagine that. One with the Father. As you and I are one, so are my people. One with the Father. Complete. I and my Father are one, so are you in me. That's what Christ said, see? So we being many, many, the church, are one body, ain't we? We're one in Christ. Every member is fitly framed together for His glory and His eternal purpose and for their good. We are one body in Christ. And every member is members one of another, as Jack talked about it, members one of another. God's people are so closely knit together in Christ, ain't they? We can come together and we can worship God in Christ. We can talk about things here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that people would hate us for, can't we? And give God all glory. We're one in Christ. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So our salvation is eternally secure, ain't it? In the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been accomplished, right? In the mind and purpose of God. And by the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shall be accomplished by the purchase of the body. Man. Be made like Christ. It's been accomplished. Our salvation has. It's been preserved by the grace of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's it. So salvation is not in any way attributed to any man on this earth. I don't care who he says he is or what he does. I'm a preacher. I'm a minister of the gospel. Salvation attributed to you in any way? If it is, you're not no minister of the gospel. Right? Salvation is not attributed to man in any way. It's God that does the saving, ain't it? It's God that purposed. It's God that speaks. It's God that gives you a heart. It's God that works in that heart. It's God that keeps, and it's God that will make you infinitely like His Son in His time. We are by nature dead, ain't we, in trespasses and sins. But by the Holy Spirit, we've been regenerated by the power of God. Been made new creatures in Christ Jesus by the power of God. I'm saved because I came to God. No, no. You came to God because you were saved. See, we by nature get everything backwards, don't we? You wouldn't have come to Him if you hadn't have been. We're dead by nature. And when God speaks, you've been spoken to. That's it. He regenerated us. He gave us a new heart. He worked grace in us. He spoke to us. He brought us to faith in Christ, to despair of ourselves and to look to Christ. He gave us life. We didn't have anything to do with it. We're just recipients, ain't we? He made us receive it. Life in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. In every true believer, salvation is safe and secure in Christ, right? Every true believer's salvation. He which begun a good work in you, He will perform that work, won't He? If He ever spoke to you, if He ever gave you a heart and spoke to it, then He'll keep you. He'll keep you looking to Christ. When God ever speaks to you or speaks to me, You don't dare look back at the flesh and say, I'm saved because I am and I do. No, you're not. You're saved because God saved you if you're saved, ain't you? And you look to Christ. You look to Christ as your sin bearer, don't you? As your leader and your guide and your representative. And you rejoice in Him. And He paid it all. See, He paid it all, didn't He? All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. If He paid all my sins, and I see that by God's grace and God's power, see, all to Him I owe. I owe it all to Him. He did it. God did it. Christ paid it. Paul assures us of one thing that he said, being confident of this one thing, this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you, He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It'll never be said of God that He began a work which He could not or was not able to complete. What God does, that's it. It's forever. He begun a good work. He will complete it. Every man considers it a shame if he undertakes to do something and he don't have the ability or knowledge or the strength to do it, don't he? He sure, yeah, he considers it a shame because he thought he could do that, and when he got into it, he sees he can't. So, every man, when he undertakes to do a work, he's compelled to give it up before completion because he lacked the ability to do it. Right? He didn't have the skill. He didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have the power. He didn't have the knowledge. He didn't have the dedication necessary to get it done, did he? But it's not possible with God. Whatever God requires, God has on behalf of His people. Right? Whatever God requires, He gives to His people and He receives it, don't He? Huh? That's it. It's all of God. It's not possible for the Lord to be confronted with shame, is it? It's not possible. He's never been a failure. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He have set judgment in the earth. He said, I've begun a good work in you. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. So it's not possible for Him to be confronted or Him to be brought to shame. He has never known failure. And He never shall. He's in control. He has all power. He does according to His will. And what He hath purposed, He will purchase, won't He? And what He hath purchased, He will receive into glory, won't He? He will. Salvation's of the Lord. He began with us in eternal election, didn't He? Eternal election. When God elected the people, He did it eternally, didn't He? I've purposed it, I will do it, He said. When He does something, it's done. When God elected the people, they were as good as saved in that regard, right? Because they were sure to be. He can't fail. And when thousands of years roll on, His purpose never changes. You know, I think about, as I've grown up, I've seen so much evil. It's getting so much worse and worse and worse. And you can't see no peace no matter where you're at hardly, can you? I notice a lot of times when we're in here, there are people outside spinning up and down the road and all kinds of noise. They got worse and worse. People used to at least show some respect for the house of God, didn't they? You don't even have that now. You don't have it. People make fun of you. That's what they do. Cruel, man. They're cruel. They don't have no interest. But God's in control. God's in control. Nothing happens without God permitting it or God working it, does it? Nothing happens. But we get all aggravated and so on and so forth Which we really shouldn't do in that regard, because we should look to God. He's in control. And he began with his people and his eternal election. He's in control. And in his time, he calls them. His purpose never changes. I've purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. When the fullness of his time was come, all that he purposed in Christ to have, in his time he sent Christ forth to die for them, didn't he? Christ died for them. He received him back into glory. He sat down at the right hand of God. He has redeemed them. Ain't he? He redeemed us by his own substitutionary death, didn't he? His offering for sin, the atonement of his own son. He made atonement for us. He chose us in Christ. He gave us eternal life in Christ. God sent him forth in his time. Christ redeemed us. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. We're kept by the power of God. And he shall eventually and eternally make us like unto his Son in his time. His purpose never changes according to his own holy will. He redeemed us. He made atonement for us. We went astray as soon as we were born, didn't we? We were rebels against him, wasn't we? But he brought us to light and life in his time. He stood by his own purpose of grace. Whatever he purposed, he shall do. It's done in that regard. He graciously preserved those people whom he already called, ain't he? Didn't he preserve them up to that time? He kept them, didn't he? And he calls them in his own time, to the time appointed when he would save them. In the time of his love, he gave Christ to die for them. And he, even since the time of his love that he shed abroad his love in our hearts, our sins have been so many, ain't they? And they are. But not in Christ. They've been put away. He has called us by the power of his grace to reveal his Son in us. He has never failed. He shall never fail. He will not give up that work to which he has been faithful to. Christ didn't give up that work, did he? He sat down. He's finished that work of the redemption of the soul, ain't he? And he shall in time come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be. As it always says, there we shall be also. So he'll complete that which he's begun. No doubt about it. He'll bring all of his elect safe into glory in his time. His precise, exact, determined time. He is willing. He's able and willing. He's willing to complete his work in us. And he will do it. He's wise enough to do it, ain't he? He's powerful enough to do it. Everything's in his control. Nothing happens without him. Can a man ever be lost? Not if he's in Christ. He can't never be lost. Can God cease to be God? That's how sure he is. That's how positive. That's how perfect he is. That's how eternal he is. That's how ultimately he is. All things are made by him and in his control. Nothing's without him. Can he cease to be God? If he can't cease to be God, all that are in Christ, they're just good as there, I'm telling you. Because they're sure to be. His redemption is God's purpose is a sure purpose. Christ's redemption is a sure redemption. God's work is a sure work. His application of the Spirit is a sure work. His work in you is a sure work. In his eternal work with you to make you like his